A lot of people say they don't read the Bible because they don't understand it. And as a Christian, I feel like it's my duty to explain it to you. Welcome to the Ghetto Bible Tales. I'm your host, Jerrica. And here at the Ghetto Bible Tales, we retell Bible stories and discuss biblical themes in a comical yet understandable way. We're going to laugh, but we're going to learn too. So strap on your seatbelt, pop yourself some popcorn, and let's do this. What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Jerrica, and I am back with yet another Ghetto Bible Tale. And today, we're going to discuss Peter escaping prison. Twice. So get ready for this one. Before we can get into this story, we must first discuss the rules of context. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a deeper video about the rules of context. If you would like to watch that video, I will leave a link to it in the description box as well as up in the cards above. We're just going to run through them real fast. The rules of context are, number one, language. The Bible wasn't originally written in English. Think about that when you're reading it. Rule two is history and culture. The Bible's culture is of ancient Israel. Please don't apply your modern day culture to the Bible. It would be very hard to understand that way. Rule number three is reading the Bible as a whole. Please don't cut the Bible up into bits and pieces, y'all. Just please take it as it is from Genesis to Revelations. Don't start at Revelations and then read backwards. Just start at the beginning, okay? And try not to take it out of context. The last and final rule is the Holy Spirit. Pray to the Lord your God to bestow his Holy Spirit upon you. And boom, we got understanding, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Now that you know about the rules of context, let's continue on in our story, shall we? All right. So, for those of you that don't know, Peter escaped prison twice. Two times. And the first time was in the book of Acts, chapter 5. It starts at verse 17, if you would like to go read that. Peter and the remaining disciples, because at this point, Jesus has been crucified. So, the disciples are pretty much being hunted. But they are still preaching in Jesus' name. So, Peter and the remaining disciples... because y'all know, what's his name? Judas committed suicide. So, you know, it's like 11 of them now. So, the disciples or apostles, whatever you want to call them, the followers of Jesus, they are healing people in Jesus' name. And they have become so popular that they are drawing large crowds. And they're healing everybody. So, mind you, when Jesus was alive, the disciples really didn't do much miracles. They really didn't. Jesus did most of them. They didn't really participate often. But now that Jesus has been crucified, they are doing these miracles in Jesus' name. So they are healing people. They are exercising spirits. And they are gaining a lot of popularity. And so, they're drawing large crowds and they're healing people. And so, this pissed off the high priests, which are the Sadducees. I think I'm saying this right. It's at the bottom of the screen. This, them healing all these people in public is pissing the high priests off. So, because of this, they throw them in prison. Mind you, they have a trial and they just arrested them and threw them in prison. So while they were in prison that night, an angel opened the doors and told them to go to the temple and speak the words of deliverance to the people. You would think that, honestly, I think some people, if the angels came and just let y'all out of jail, you would have just ran and been through. But no, when the angel came and let them out of jail, he said, the Lord said for y'all to go to the temple and teach about how you've been delivered from prison. So the apostles were very obedient, because you would think that they wouldn't go there, because at the temple is where the Sadducees at. So when you go to the temple, you're essentially telling them, you didn't keep me locked down, the Lord let me out. So The next morning, the apostles head to the temple and they teach. Meanwhile, the guards are looking for them. They at the empty cell trying to figure out where they at. Like the guards was like,
bro, I thought you said you locked them in cell block D.
Bruh, I did put them in cell block D. I mean, it was 11 of them. Like, I ain't stupid. I know I put them right here.
Man, we gonna lose our job, bruh. This.
We gonna get beheaded for this. Oh my goodness.
The apostles are found at the temple. Like, the guards and stuff was looking for them. They at the temple preaching. And when they get there, they get arrested again for preaching at the temple. So this time, when they get arrested, there's a trial. So they bring them to the court, and they get scolded by the Sadducees for teaching in Jesus' name. And they was like, we'll let y'all go if y'all stop preaching in the name of Jesus, because he ain't nobody. And the apostles was like, They was like, we listen to God. We don't listen to y'all. So, with big mouth and big faith, they was like, we're going to keep preaching in the name of Jesus. We don't care. Y'all can keep throwing us in prison. We're going to keep preaching about the Lord God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So, because of this, the high priest got real upset. And they decided, at that moment, they started to plotting to kill them. Now, for those of you that don't know, all of the apostles died gruesome deaths, except for John. I think the Bible said he died in his sleep. But Peter, Bartholomew, Thomas, James, all them other boys, their deaths was not good. Like, as a matter of fact, Peter got crucified on a cross as well. However, Peter told them to turn him upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified within the same manner that his Savior Jesus Christ was crucified. You talking about big mouth, big faith, my boy Peter. Oh my goodness. Another one of the disciples, I want to say it was Bartholomew. One of them got crucified on like an X. It wasn't a cross, but it was like an X. Some of them got beheaded. Some of them got poisoned. They didn't die nice little deaths. The only one that did was John, like I said. And he, I think it said he died in his sleep. After the apostles proudly say, you know, we ain't finna stop preaching in Jesus' name, the high priest begins plot to kill them all. There's a man. A man approaches the court. His name is Gamaliel. I think I'm saying that right. His name is at the bottom of the screen. Gamaliel is a Pharisee who was well respected as a teacher of the Mosaic law. So, when he realizes that they're plotting to kill these men, first of all, the Sadducees are high priests. Apparently, the Sadducees is a higher rank than Pharisees, because Gamaliel is a Pharisee, and it makes note that he is under the Sadducees. So, the Sadducees must be a higher ranking of priest than a Pharisee. But anyway, the reason that Gamaliel was allowed to even speak within this congregation with these Sadducees is because he was a real respected teacher of the Mosaic law. So Gamaliel tells them, you know, leave them be. You know, don't be plotting to kill them. Let them alone for right now. And then he goes on to name two men who must have also claimed to be the Savior. Like, they must have said that they was like Jesus coming from the Lord and stuff. And he said that both of these men grew huge followings, but after their deaths, their followings died out, as did their teachings. So he was essentially saying that if they are of man, it will come to nothing. So he was like, so basically Gamaliel was like, if y'all kill these people and they are of God, you will be punished. But if these are just random men, like if Jesus was just a random man who just thought talking about he the Savior, if it's not of God, eventually these teachings gonna die out and ain't nobody even gonna think about Jesus no more. But I mean, as we all know, here we are in 2022 still talking about Jesus. So he was the real deal. Okay. But Gamaliel, his whole argument was, don't be trying to plot to kill these dudes because this might actually be legitimate. So if it's legitimate, you don't want to be punished for killing me and a god. But if it's illegitimate, it's going to die out anyway. So just let them be, is what Gamaliel was essentially saying. To me, Gamaliel was being kind of like a fence rider. He had this like wait and see type of attitude about it. But when you fully know God, you fully trust God, you don't have no wait and see type of attitude. You just know because of God. So instead of believing God for who he is, he decided to wait and see if this teachings of Jesus would die out. So I'm assuming that he saw that it didn't die out because Jesus is Lord. Okay. So the high priest decided that they weren't going to kill Peter and the apostles. They decided to let them go. But however, they beat them first. They beat the piss out of them. In public, they got lashings, they got whipped, and then they let them go. They didn't kill them. And the crazy thing about the apostles is, after being beat, they rejoiced in the suffering. Because they said, in Jesus' name, we are suffering. And they continued to teach, despite being told to stop. Now, that was the first time Peter and them got arrested, y'all. It was the second time. Now, the second time, I guess Peter just really couldn't believe it the second time. He got arrested twice, and angels set him free twice. So he go the second time. The second time that Peter and his crew escaped prison is in the book of Acts chapter 12. James, one of the disciples / apostles, James was also the brother, the biological brother of Jesus. He was Mary and Joseph's first biological son, because technically Jesus ain't biologically theirs. Mary was simply a vessel. But anyway, James, Jesus's brother. So at the beginning of Acts 12, James is beheaded by King Herod, who was persecuting Christians at this time. Because the Jews and the Pharisees and high priests and stuff were so happy about James being beheaded, Herod decided to pretty much just hunt down the apostles. And so the next person that he managed to get his hands on was Peter. So he arrested Peter and threw Peter in prison. Now, some of you might be wondering, okay, so if he just beheaded James, why he didn't kill Peter right away? Well, apparently, Peter was captured during Passover. And, you know, the Passover feast is a ritual. And it's something that they took very serious. So because of that, Herod decided not to kill Peter at that moment because he wanted an audience. And right now, it was the Passover and people were paying attention to getting their feasts and stuff together to celebrate the Passover. So it was a holiday. So they wouldn't be so keen on paying attention to that. So he wanted all the glory for capturing another apostle and killing them. And he knew that he couldn't do it during the Passover because it was a holiday and wasn't nobody probably going to come out to see Peter get killed. So because of that, he put Peter in prison for a few days while the Passover was going on. So since we on the subject of Herod, I just want to give y'all a little history about him. Herod was born Marcus Julius Agrippa. His name was changed to Herod Agrippa after he became the king of Judea. He was the grandson of Herod the Great. For those of you that don't know who Herod the Great was, Herod the Great was the king that ordered all the children from 0 to 3 to be killed when Jesus was born, because he had heard about the Savior being born. So he was trying to make sure that he killed him off. But as we all know, Mary and Joseph ended up traveling to Bethlehem and Jesus was not killed. So anyway, and Herod was crazy, y'all. He was so scared of the Savior that he even killed his own sons. So he was crazy. But that was Herod the Great. But this is Herod Agrippa, who is the great grandson? Is he the grandson? No, he the grandson. The grandson. He is the grandson of Herod the Great. I mean, he was sent to go live in Rome because his grandfather was so crazy and so obsessed with the Savior being born that, you know, like I said, he was trying to, he was killing his own kin. So because of that, his family whisked him away to Rome. And that's where he pretty much grew up and learned teachings. What we find out about Herod is he is the person who facilitated the relationship between the Romans and the Jews. That is because at the time that Jesus was walking the earth, you know, Rome was intermingling with them. They had pretty much was conquering their people. Anyway, while Herod was in Rome, he befriended someone who would eventually become a Roman emperor, and his name was Claudius. And that's how he became king, because Claudius ended up owning, you know, they had conquered Israel or whatever. And what he ended up doing was giving this portion to Herod Agrippa because of their friendship, and because we know that through direct lineage, it would have been Herod Agrippa's anyway, because it was once his grandfather's throne. Back to the story. Because of Peter and his homeboys' escape back in Acts 5, Herod Agrippa knew about that. And because of that, he decided to put 4 squads of guards on Peter. So, he got 4 squads watching little old Peter in a cell, y'all. And like I said, the plan was to kill Peter after the Passover. I think the Passover lasted like a week. So, he was going to kill Peter after the holiday. So, while Peter is in prison, you know, his followers in the congregation, the Bible notes that they are constantly in prayer for him, for his safety, that God will watch over him while he is in prison. I love that. I love that his church, the church and the apostles that weren't arrested or killed had come together to pray for their brother and was like, you know, they all got on one accord. And there's nothing God loved more than his people being on one accord. And they all got on one accord to pray for Peter. And they prayed without ceasing. Like, they continued to pray. So, the last night of the Passover, which is the day before Peter's execution, Peter was asleep and an angel hit him in the head.
Hey, Peter. Get up. Peter. Hey. Wake up. Get up. Let's go. Come on, we finna go. Get up, get up, get up. Dang, this nigga sleep like a rock. Come on, bro, let's go. We finna go. You wanna stay in prison or you wanna get up? Come on, let's go. Wipe the sleep out your eyes, bro. Come on. Let's go.
Peter wake up and he followed the angel out past all the guards to an open gate. Now, Peter don't realize that he awake. Like, he truly believes that he is still sleeping. So, he's essentially sleepwalking. He done sleepwalked out the cell past all the guards. So, I'm assuming that the guards are in some kind of trance themselves. Because Peter, like I said, Peter believes that he's sleeping. Peter believes he's sleeping. So, he's in a trance. And the guards are in a trance because the gate slides open. The cell slides open. He walks out of it and he walks right by them following the angel on out. So, like I said, he think he's dreaming. So, once they are outside the gate, the angel disappears and then Peter wake up like...
What's happening?
So, mind you, Peter's people are still praying for him. Like, they had all congregated at somebody's house. I forgot who house they said it was. And they were all praying. Like I said, they still praying. They prayed without ceasing for Peter. So, Peter rolled up to this house. And when he walked through the door, everybody was like... We was literally in the middle of praying for you, bro, and you just walked through the door like, dang, God be working fast. And he began to tell them, you know, how God has brought him through. Thanks them for their prayers. When Herod found out that his prize captured apostle was nowhere to be found. He executes all the guards that was watching him. So it was like four squads of guards watching Peter. All of them dead. He is so pissed off because, like I said, this was a political thing for him because, you know, the Jews weren't too fond of him being a king because of him being raised over there in Rome. So he was killing apostles for political gain. And like I said, they had begun to like him a little bit because he killed James. He beheaded James in front of everybody. So, you know, he began to get a little famous or popular or whatever amongst the Jewish people. And now you done announced that you had captured Peter and that you was going to execute him after Passover. And then all of a sudden, Peter is nowhere to be found, and instead you out here executing guards. So after he executed the guards, you know, Herod gives a speech. The people, okay, so this one right here is for you, for humans. Herod gave this speech, and it must have been a great speech. So people start calling him a god, and he started believing what these people said. So he, after people start calling him a god, he started believing he was a god. And, you know, the real G God ended up killing him because of him believing he was a god. So this right here is similar to how y'all be worshiping these celebrities and these mega pastors and stuff like calling them. A lot of them start calling themselves a god, and everybody be agreeing with them like they is a god. Mm-mm. Don't do that. Stop playing with God, because that's playing. Like, it's such, we live in such a weird time, and the fan culture is so weird. Like, I'm a fan of some music artists, but not so much to the point where they're a god to me. Like, people be out here like, y'all, like Beyonce, for instance, people be out here calling her Beezus. Y'all know what Beezus, that's like Beyonce and Jesus, they put the name together. That ain't cute. That's terrible. Don't do that. That's horrible. Now, Beyonce ain't never said that she believes she's a god. At least she ain't never said it publicly. I don't know about privately, but she ain't never said it publicly. But I do feel like for celebrities, they know what their fans be doing. Y'all got to set them straight. Because I remember one time they was doing that to Rihanna. And Rihanna came out straight up and she said, "That makes me really uncomfortable. I am not a god. Don't do that." And I respect her for that. And I feel like other people should do that too. Because this fan culture is straight up weird. Like, it's real weird. Stop putting humans on pedestals. You are not a god, sis. You are not a goddess, sis. Bro, you are not a god. You will never be a god. You are a human. If I cut you, you're gonna bleed. If I shoot you, you just might die. You are not a god, okay? So just stop. I don't know why human beings wanna be gods. You're not gods. Stop it. Herod let people get in his ear and call him a god. Then he started believing he was one. And then God was like, "Okay, no, homie." And God struck him dead, and then worms ate up his body. Stop it. This don't play with God. Don't play with God. Stop playing with God. You're not a God. So just stop it. That crap is gray A weird. It's weird. That's weird, man. That's weird. Just stop. Okay? You're human. You're not a God. So basically, you know what I'm saying? God didn't play by Peter. And y'all know why God didn't play by Peter. Because Peter didn't play by God. It's so many people around here that be talking about some, God don't play about me. Girl, please, hush. Hush. Be quiet, because you be playing by God. Nah, God didn't play by Peter, because Peter didn't play by God. Peter was actually about that God life. When you about that God life, when you really about that God life, God don't play about you either. But some of you folk be hollering about, "God don't play by me," and they ain't even studying God. Girl, please. But anyway, that was the story of your boy Peter escaping prison, not once, but twice. Two times on you, okay? But you do not have to take my word for it. You can open your Bibles. The first time that Peter was escaping from prison was in Acts chapter 5. The second time is Acts chapter 12. Go read it for yourself, okay? Once again, I'd like to thank y'all for watching this video. Please like, comment, and subscribe. And please share this video with your family and your friends. Thank you to all the people who send me messages, who leave comments, telling me that they like this series. Thank you for watching. Please continue to pray for me. Keep me in your prayers as I pray for you. If there is a specific topic that you'd like for me to discuss or a question that you would like for me to answer, please head on over to ghettobibletales.com, slide on down to that request section, and type in your request there. I do read them. Once again, y'all, thanks for watching this video. Until next time, peace out, ladies and gentlemen. Mwah. All Ghetto Bible Tell episodes are posted on YouTube simultaneously in video format. Thanks for tuning in. You can follow the show on all social media at Ghetto Bible Tales. Head on over to ghettobibletales.com and you can sign up for the mailing list so that you can be notified of updates and other things. You can also request topics or stories that you'd like for me to discuss on the show. Once again, I'm your host Jerrica, and this has been the Ghetto Bible Tales. New episodes are posted every Wednesday and every Sunday. His grace and mercy carry me.